Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I know that it's been a minute, and I want to reintroduce myself in case this might be the first time, or since it's been a minute, maybe you just need a reminder who the hell I am. I'm Shanae, and I host this podcast called Living Loud in the intention that you will learn how to live loud based on your true unique personality. And you can actually align yourself using the power of astrology. I also love reading self-help books and sharing my own philosophical takes on things. So if you're interested, I would love for you to just come along and join us and hit that subscribe button. But today I want to talk a little bit about Pluto in Aquarius. And I know you're probably getting tired of people talking about it. But it's so fresh and new, and we are still kind of in a preview period that it's just impossible not to talk about if you are interested in astrology. So hopefully you're not Pluto in Aquarius'd out and you will get some great value out of this. I do believe that I'm going to talk about it in a way that is not quite as common. When I talk about astrology, I like to make it totally actionable and use lots of examples from my own life. So hopefully you will find that helpful and at least sort of interesting. Because I think that when people talk about future transits, especially ones that are really long, it's hard to make it something that feels useful instead of something that just feels intellectually interesting. So let's get started in this episode. I would love for you to just kind of take it all in. Let me know what you think. If you want to engage with me, go onto Facebook. I will leave the link in the show notes so that way you can come and join my world. That is where I'm most active. If you're one of those young folks, it's not really on Facebook. I totally understand. I will have other places that you can kind of keep up with me as well, but the best place would probably be to join my email list. You can go to ShaneeSmith.com and just put in your email, and I will send you updates there. But let's get into it. Pluto in Aquarius is going to be deepening the lessons that we learned from 2020 to 2023. And I'm kind of naming this or calling this episode "The Rigidity of How I Approach Life is Dysfunctional and It Caused an Absolute Mess." This is by me and my story featuring Saturn in Aquarius, kind of like if it was a song. But for yourself, check your own chart and find out, number one, what house in your chart is ruled by Aquarius? I recommend that you look at the whole sign chart for this, but if you're a Placidus girly or guy, that's cool too. I just think when you do transits, it's more of a traditional technique and you should use a more traditional house system, but you're the boss. Number two, what placements do you have in Aquarius, Taurus, Scorpio, and Leo? And which houses are those? And number three, what are the keywords for those planets in the signs and houses, and what stands out from your life experience, obviously? Number four, where were you experiencing delay and challenge and eventually a changed understanding, especially from 2020 to 2023? Now that you're kind of on the other side of it, what has seen a decided easing, right? So I said that kind of weird. What have you noticed has gotten significantly easier since then? For me, since around like 2011 until 2022, I have been through like a whirlwind of personal destruction, and only in the last year have I actually started to like rebuild my life. I've kind of gone like back to basics and like back to square one, and I mean, obviously not every single minute during that long decade was like an absolute mess, but my 20s was really hard for me. And while no doubt many people feel like their 20s is difficult, I get to use astrology to help me analyze the shit out of it. So that's why you're here, I guess. But like by the time I was 30, which was in 2021, I felt like as far unaligned as I could possibly imagine for myself. And drugs and alcohol, except for like 2 years, I was drinking quite a lot from like my 20, right before my 20th birthday until my 22nd birthday. And after that, I kind of lost interest. And so besides that little bit of time frame, like drugs and alcohol have always been really off the table for me. I grew up with a drug addict and it was not anything that I was ever really attracted to. But in that like time frame, like around 31, I really was at my rock bottom. And everybody's looks different and I pray to God that I will never feel like that again, but I was there. Everything felt wrong, but it all basically led back to who I was being as a person. And I'm sure that's obvious to people who have already gone through this process, but I noticed how I reacted, like not responded, how I reacted and how I strategized to meet problems and have relationships with people were all kind of like manipulation that was under the veil of like good intentions. I thought I had good intentions, but they were corrupt in the way that I was convinced that people didn't like me. And that meant I had to do strategies that would make them like me no matter what, and where I wanted to go, what I wanted to, you know, just do, the people that were in my life and how I saw the world. Like all of that was in like kind of a downward spiral. And a lot of it was, I thought, was based on cause and effect and like my viewpoint of scarcity. And all of that understanding culminated in my Saturn return between 2020 and 2023. And that's not something to ignore, but this was so obviously truly facilitated by the Pluto in Capricorn transit that was from 2008 until this year. And just in case you're brand new here, Capricorn is my first house and I was born in the early 90s. So I have Uranus and Neptune and the North Node there. And when any planet is in Capricorn, it will eventually interact with my Mercury by square, my Sun by trine, my Moon and Pluto by sextile, and my Mars and Chiron by opposition. And so when things go through Capricorn, it's kind of an all hands on deck kind of transit. But why am I bringing this up if we're supposed to be talking about Saturn's transit in Aquarius and then Pluto's transit in Aquarius? But the reason I'm bringing it up is because I believe that the best way that I can possibly get any idea of what Pluto in Aquarius might have to teach me is to understand from the place that he's already been what he's helped me have a deeper understanding of in the past. So just like as an important note, the overarching lesson from Pluto in relation to excavating my identity during his transit through my first house was taught through the lens of the hard work that Saturn was bringing me at the time. And that goes back like through, you know, I can't say like my whole life, because when you're a child, your priorities and what you're learning is so much more functional and like trying to exist in the world versus like who you are while you're doing that functioning. But as someone who's grown a lot in the last decade and done a lot of personal development and reflection, like that's a clear, it's a clear thing that motivates me, is to try and figure out what in the heck is all this for? What am I supposed to be doing with this? And my identity house being transited by Pluto was a pretty monumental thing for me to go through pretty much my entire adult life so far. So let's talk a little bit about Aquarian themes in your life and what have you really changed during that time period since summer of 2020. For me, there's been kind of a coming to my understanding of what my relationship to words like desire and boundary, burnout, system, momentum, service, contribution, earnings, values, and independence. And some of those words are because it's Saturn. Some of it is because it's Aquarius, and some of it is because it's in my second house of earnings and hard and like what you work for. And this is kind of why I teach people to use keyword maps to reflect on their chart and the transits to their chart. But let's talk about what is being activated from Aquarius. So if you have Aquarius placements, that's going to be by conjunction. And if it's by sextile, that would mean Aries and Sagittarius placements. If it's square, that would be Taurus and Scorpio placements. If it's trine, Libra and Gemini placements. And by opposition would be Leo placements. So let's talk about how those houses in a chart interact. I'll use the example of the square and opposition aspect. So for everyone, there's always tension built between your second house and eighth house and your fifth house and 11th house. This is built into the themes of every natal chart and it's part of the map of the chart. Philosophically, in this kind of example, your earned income, hobbies, creativity, and pleasure, partners, resources, debts, and interest, and your social and networking community's priorities all clash and clang together. It takes energetic effort to balance and create harmony in those areas for everyone. As an example, another example, you might have planets in the first and the fourth house, which shows a dynamic of tension between your body or self-image and your home environment or parents. And you might have planets in your sixth or ninth house, which shows a dynamic of tension between your daily routine and your belief systems or education. You might have planets in your third and your sixth, showing a dynamic of tension between your thoughts or idea expression and your coworkers. Maybe it's easy to get along with your boss, but your peers not so much, or vice versa. So basically what I had prior to Saturn's transit of Aquarius was a lack of understanding in these areas. And by these areas, I mean, you know, the list, like my boundaries and my systems and my desires, etc. And the lack of proper sustainable foundations there were shown through my created environment, so that way I could become aware of it. Now, from 2020 to 2023, the squares in your Aquarius house were not squares necessarily, but like if you had squares such as Taurus and Scorpio like me, or Leo if you have the opposition, or if you have other Aquarius placements, were super hammered during this time, because natal fixed sign placements in Aquarius, Taurus, Leo, and Scorpio were basically like fully installed with new software from transits in Aquarius, like Saturn in Aquarius and when Jupiter conjoined Saturn in Aquarius, as well as the square between Saturn and Uranus when Uranus is in Taurus, which it still is and will be for a while. But also like the Scorpio-Taurus eclipse cycle was really creating new integrations that we needed to have in the fixed areas of our charts. So if this is pinging your fixed placements, know that you are super strong and tenacious, even if it doesn't really feel like it. And if you feel tired from all this heavy lifting, that's normal and doesn't mean that you're weak. You are obviously so strong. These transits, though, have taught us that, like, each in their own way, the story between rigidity and expectation and fear and manifestation of like physical creations and our emotional security, that would be the Taurus and the Scorpio parts, and our nervous systems, which are more and more increasingly tech oriented, which is, you know, pretty stereotypically Aquarius. So while Pluto entering Aquarius will bring new and unexpected upheaval in the fixed areas of our lives, and that is going to be uncomfortable, we're going to move on with our lives in other ways. I'm clearly not going to spend 60 hours a week dealing with an identity crisis, but the beauty of having this, you know, kind of updates installed is now that we have a tool, is now we have a tool belt. So we have better foundations and stronger willpower and systems that we didn't have before. And I can't even imagine trying to go through this deeper cleansing that Pluto is going to do in Aquarius, which we're going to talk about just in a moment, without having those structures that Saturn has helped provide. So now, as far as Pluto entering Aquarius, let's talk a little bit about Pluto itself. So Pluto is got keywords such as power, corruption, fear, exposing rot, and transformation. So wherever you've experienced activation over the last 3 years in your Aquarian area of life, or house, if you're more familiar with that term, is shifting towards this deepening of commitment toward that Aquarian cleansing. And I don't know if you guys were Walking Dead fans back in the day, but I'm thinking of Jenner in the CDC towards the very end of the first season when he's talking about setting the air on fire. It's so hot that there's no pain, just death. Like, sorry, I hope that's not overselling it, but like Saturn has left Aquarius and there was some kind of burden that was lifted. You are finally experiencing like an unlock in the grid of your life, but now you're not being held back in that area. And that feeling could last. I'm not trying to sell you a dystopian, horrible fantasy. It totally depends on your chart. But even if you're being tested in the next area in Pisces, it's, you know, fortifying your emotions and boundaries, and you're being refined there. You're feeling better about your Aquarian area, though, regardless of how the Pisces area is going. And so while that is feeling better over the next 20 years, you're going to see a deepening of that. You know how they say when the cat's away, the mice will play? What I'm thinking of is like when the mouses don't realize is that, or the mice, I know the plural for mouse, sorry. What the mice don't realize is that the cat installed a nanny cam. And so now it knows how you live and it will be able to know what you're doing when you think no one is watching. So Pluto is still doing Saturn's bidding. If it's in Aquarius and Saturn rules Aquarius, so even if Pluto is strong and his own planet associated with power and transformation, it's still doing it under the Saturn's requirements or expectations. And he's been doing that since 2008 because Saturn also rules Capricorn. So Saturn's priorities are changing though. Every 3 years, they go somewhere else and they give you new modules in Pluto school. And so it's going to be uncovered. It might even be a bit more accurate to say excavated over the next 20 years what final transformation or system upgrade is in store for that Aquarian area. And so don't underestimate the power of that. But I think we should manage the expectations for Pluto and Aquarius. Some people are kind of making this out to be like, oh, the tech revolution, and it's going to be grassroots movements where we're going to finally have power to the people. And I do think that there will be a lot of themes like that, but we have to think of it from our own personal perspective. And while society does obviously influence how we function as individuals, you're still going to have to deal with your own personal normal life, right? So, certain aspects of the Saturn and Aquarius transits really were truly solved during this transit there. So, for me, like just as an example, it was literally just getting over the fact that having a regular part-time job to pay for my life versus trying to rely on my businesses or, at first it was photography and now it's astrology coaching. And so it's like, it's a lot better for me to have a part-time job just to make sure that this is not smothered. My mental health is like vastly improved by having a part-time job. That's not to say that the process of getting to the point where I realized that would be good for me and not just a drag on my business performance was such a huge hurdle. It seems really small and insignificant now that I should just have a part-time job, but that was a huge hurdle. There's going to be an underlying fortification, though, of this like chemical fire cleansing that I was talking about that's taking place that we can't really see yet. If you have fixed placements, you're going to be experiencing that intensely at times. And I'm really sorry that there's no other way to say it. This is not ever, Pluto is not ever an easy planet. It's not its purpose. But keep reading. Keep reading, keep listening. Don't click off yet because the good news is that a lot of that is forecasted. So you can ride the wave informed and not feel like, oh my God, I don't think I can possibly handle this for 20 years. Okay, the intensity is going to go up and down. It's a prolonged story. It's got a lot of moving parts and there's all like relevant. It's all relevant, of course. Your entire personality is interconnected through the natal chart, but certain things are going to be increasingly important in relevance and activity, and then decreasing in importance, relevance, and activity. I know it's going to involve the Pluto keywords such as abuse, power, manipulation, elimination, decay, death, rebirth, transformation, envy, obsession, intensity, resentment, transmutation. Hopefully, that's not too many and you're not like eyes aren't glazing over and you're daydreaming. But those are all things that are going to be involved for everyone to a certain degree because that is Pluto's keywords by itself. For me personally, and you can do a keyword map to figure out what's all going to be included for you as well. But for me, I know that it's also going to have to do with my emotional security, especially in a community or network environment, because my Scorpio moon in the 11th house is going to be activated by square. And so is my Pluto. This is the start of my Pluto square as a 30-something year old. It's not always that age when you go through a Pluto square because of Pluto's irregular orbit, but for the millennial generation, we're starting that now. My ego and identity is going to be involved again, which I just can't tell you how glad I am that my fucking identity is going to be included again because I'm so tired of that. But nonetheless, it will be different because it will be associated with my sun, which is my true self, versus my ascendant, which is a little bit more the role that I'm playing in society, which is still a very real, true version of me, but it's not the trunk of my tree. It's merely a branch that I show the world. And also because my Jupiter is in Leo and that will be activated by opposition. I know that my abundance and growth is going to be included as far as like ownership or usage of other people's capital and resources because of my eighth house, second house axis being activated, and also because Jupiter, like I said, is there. my boundaries, cash flow, earned income, and desires are going to be implemented in this, or implemented, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but like implicated, because Saturn is going to be activated in the second house. My interests, hobbies, and talents are going to be activated. Also recognition, because my Taurus sun in the fifth house is going to be activated. And my love of learning, routines, day-to-day relationship with my husband, things like that are all going to be activated too by a trine, because my Venus is in Gemini in the sixth house. That'll be in many years, for it to be exact, because it's further along in the sign of Gemini by degree. So you can see here how things are kind of forecasted. Some of these will become more intense at a certain time, and some of them will, you know, kind of peter out and come back based on retrograde cycles and things like that. And so that's what I'm talking about forecasting the kind of the waves that we're riding. As far as like how permanent is some of this stuff, Pluto doesn't leave a sign permanently without there being an integration period, and this occurs when Pluto goes back and forth over the sign boundary. In 2023, we had Pluto enter into Aquarius super briefly, give us a little sneak peek, and then go right back into Capricorn, where it was for the rest of the year. And right now, we're in a longer preview of Aquarius, where it's going to be giving us more of a preview, really starting to give us kind of a appetizer of sorts of what's going to be coming with the main course, because on September 1st, I think it is, Pluto is going to enter back into Capricorn briefly for one more ingress so that it can finish its work there. And then after that, in November on the 19th, which is my mom's birthday, shout out to my mom, happy birthday at that point, Pluto's not going to return to that area of the chart in our lifetime. And so after 2024, Pluto in Capricorn is done, nails in the coffin, finito. That part is set in stone, we'll say. And so, like, obviously long lasting, to say the least, right? But one thing that I've realized, just kind of like more thoughts on this, is just because you know that a transit is happening, that's not going to make you exempt from it. Even though I know that Pluto is going to be square my sun and moon, I'm still going to go through that drama of the update. I'll still feel the emotion. I'll still feel the frustration and the shock and the confusion. And we're going to feel that stinger. But we're also going to know that, like, at this point, you have those foundations that we've talked about from the Saturn and Aquarius kind of transit that we've been referencing. And so you know that you have control over a few things. What comes to mind for me is, like, which options are you choosing to persevere with? How are you choosing to experience this energy? Through expectation and feeling your feelings accurately, expressly, as in quickly, right? Not necessarily like getting over it, but like not repressing and dealing with it later, dealing with it now in the moment and constructively. So having good communication with people, making sure that you're not, I like to put my head in the sand when I get overwhelmed by things and try to work on that, right? So trying to do things constructively. And I think I'd also like to add, just as a little bit of advice, if you can make your goal to be decisive but responsive instead of reactive, kind of be detached from the process, which would be kind of an Aquarian concept, and more open to or attracting the outcome versus trying to force the outcome, you know, doing experiments. Aquarius loves experiments for the sake of them, not to try and force a certain outcome, but to truly understand the process of the experiment and to respect almost the results of that experiment, even when they aren't what you expect. And number three, I guess, in this list would be to kind of like identify less with the emotions and the wealth or income and resources, and with a lot less focus on emotional control or property and belongings, which would be part of that Scorpio Taurus axis, and then your place in the group as an individual, which would be that Leo Aquarius axis. All of those things are going to have to be balanced, and that's the purpose of this axis, both ways, via the square and via the opposition from whatever sign you're in, the fixed axes, we'll say. I don't know what the word is for a double axis like that, wherever it's going both ways perpendicular. I'm sure there's a math person out there that can help me, but you get what I'm saying, I hope. And anyway, inevitably, I will keep talking about this shift for a while because obviously you can see there's infinite potential for unique experiences here. But this is the kind of thing that I help people decipher in their lives. So I want to just kind of invite you, if you're a spiritual entrepreneur or a practical mystic or some kind of analytical witchy gal or guy, just give me a shout so that we can discuss kind of, like I was saying, those forecasting of these events, what's going to become most important as far as the next 20 years from the Pluto perspective. When are things going to be coming more intense and when will they kind of peter out? And how can we navigate life's challenges with more confidence and clarity? I want you to know when you can experience shifts and changes and feel confident putting down roots and kind of have some sort of expectation if things are going to be shifting significantly. Obviously, over the next 20 years, your life will be completely different. I'm not trying to say that with astrology, you can avoid change. That's not how this works. With astrology, you can know more closely the theme of change that is kind of at work. And I hope that I would be able to kind of differentiate which ones are taking place and which ones have kind of been put to rest. So if you're ready to start seeing your past for what it was, and what I like to say it is an expression of a quality of time and your reaction to that, you can make the most out of your talents, gifts, and to start shifting your challenges into actual fuel so that you can work with that instead of just feeling like the past is a never-ending downward spiral of cause and effect. I don't really love that. So I try to make it a lot more constructive. But if you're interested, here are kind of the ways that you can work with me. So I do individual consultations and I sell those hourly. I also have packs. So if you know you like working with me, maybe you've already worked with me in the past, or you know a friend has had a really great experience with me, if you want to have a pack, then you can get a better deal on each session individually. That's great if you want to have like your first conversation with me about your chart, so that way you can kind of have like a bird's eye view, and then we can drill down deeper on specific topics in subsequent consultations. This would be kind of like a similar structure to therapy, but I'm not a therapist, just so everybody is very clear on that. I also do like a 30-day intensive course where you can get to the end result faster of what I like to do in my longer container. That way, if you are like a high performer who has some time freedom and you want to really put in a lot of work up front, you know that this investment is going to allow you to work on your emotional and intellectual skills, and then you can start using this as soon as possible. That's a great option for you. However, I personally recommend the more longer-term process. In my 3-month seasonal programs, I love to start these in cardinal seasons, but it really can be started anytime. It doesn't have to be in a cardinal season by any means. But I do like the fact that when you work with me for 3 months in a row, you get a cardinal, fixed, and immutable season. That way, you can kind of experience the full session of applying and integrating the skills with a longer support container. That way, you can apply the understanding that you get from working with me to your life a little more strategically, and you can have a little bit more, what's it called, where you have like a like evidence, I guess. But you know, like when you have your experiment, you can kind of change variables a little more slowly and just kind of really mull over what you're learning about yourself through your journaling and conversations with me. Anyway, if you're ready to get a deeper kind of handle on how you can forecast the quality of time in your life going forward by looking back on your past, send me a message and we will figure out the best fit for you. I am so glad that you took this time to listen to me today. If you need me, you can find me on my website at shadaysmith.com and you can send me a message in the contact form, or you can just check out the show notes and find other ways to get in touch with me as well. One other thing before you go, I just remembered I obviously have to tell you about the Newbie Startup Guide. It is my astrology beginner 101 kind of course. It's going to be on demand. I'm currently live launching it and I'm working on the last module now. It's already got over 5.5 hours of content, but you know that content is only helpful if it's quality. Quantity content is not necessarily where I'm trying to go. We're looking for quality. And so it's not going to have a whole bunch of extra stuff that you're not going to need. And it's not going to ask you to memorize all kinds of different things. It's going to give you a very actionable way to start using astrology to go from absolute newbie who only knows their birthday to somebody who can actually use astrology in their daily life to make their life better. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, go down below into the show notes or wherever they are on the podcast app that you use and check out the description so that way you can get a link to go and check out the Introduction to the Newbie Startup Guide on-demand course. It'll also come with a group access where you can have support from me, and so that way you can get all of your questions answered as well as kind of communicate with other newbies like yourself, and you can kind of see where everybody else is going and you can learn from them as well. If that's something you're interested in, I would love for you to join the waitlist. Find me on Facebook or send me an email and request to be added to the waitlist so that I can give you a 50% off shareable coupon that you can send to all your friends that are also getting into astrology. So that way we can all learn how to use these forces for good and we can all do better and better and better. Well, if there's anything else, I would love to hear from you. But if not, I will just see you in the next episode. Bye.